Welcome, Voltron fans, to Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. I'm your host, Mark Morrell, and joining me is my co-host, Greg Tyler.
Hello, Mark Morrell. Hello, fellow Voltron fans. It's great to be here once again to talk about Voltron.
You know what? We got a really good response from everybody who had sent in their questions for Tyler Labine, the voice of Hunk.
Yes. Gosh, that was a fun conversation, wasn't it?
Yes. And I got to tell you, the feedback that we're getting from the fans on the Tyler Labine interview is great because, I mean, not only the people that actually sent in their questions and actually got their questions answered, which is a really cool thing to have happen, but just people who were listening to the podcast and thought it was really cool to learn more about Tyler Labine, learn more about Hunk. You know, some people didn't even know he was a Samoan.
Right, right. That's Hunk being Samoan, not Tyler Labine.
Right. And well, some people didn't know that Tyler Labine was Canadian either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now they do. And knowing is half the battle. Wrong cartoon. Sorry.
Right. And just because you moved to L.A. doesn't mean you stop being Canadian.
Yep. That's true. And I got to say, the one thing I learned that left the biggest impression on me about Tyler Labine is how welcoming he is and how open he is to his fans. He stuck around for a very long time to answer each and every fan question, and that was really, really above and beyond the call of duty. So thank you, Tyler Labine, for being such a great support.
Right, and one of the best things for anyone, you know, is if you say you're going to do something and you back it up by actually doing it.
And he definitely did.
Oh, yeah. He had actually said on his Twitter feed, he had said, send in your questions. I'll answer them all.
And he did. That was so cool.
That was cool.
Yeah. Thank you again, Tyler.
Yeah, that was great. And, you know, we have this other thing going on. I had sent out a tweet to the fans saying, this is your Voltron to-do list.
Uh-huh.
The number one was listen to the Tyler Labine interview.
Yeah.
Which is available at letsvoltron.com/87.
Cool.
And then the number two item was enter our sweepstakes.
And that's now number one, if you've already listened to the Tyler Labine interview.
Yes. So if you haven't done it yet, why aren't you doing it? You know, there's no reason why you shouldn't feel like you have just as much of a chance as anybody else. Just send in your 15-second video of you playing with Playmates toys, any of them, and we'll gladly accept your entry, and you'll be entered into the contest, and you might even be part of that 30-second commercial, which means you have a chance to win.
Yes, and what can you win, Mark Morrell?
Well, the first place prize for the people that send in the videos is all five of the legendary lines that combine together to form the giant Voltron.
That's very cool. And so when you say people who send in the videos, we are a bit restricted in who can send the videos, right?
Well, it's basically anybody who can get their hands on one of these toys. If it's in a store that's near you, you don't have to actually buy it. You can use it in the store and take a quick 15-second video with your phone. Don't take it out of the packaging. But if you have a friend who actually has some of the toys and you say, hey, do you want to make a quick video and we can enter into the contest, that would be a way to do it. But yes, there are international fans out there who don't have access to the Voltron toys or have not ordered them through like the Voltron store or something like that. And they don't want to pay the international shipping and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
If you don't have access to any Voltron Playmates toys, what you can do is enter the contest. We have a separate prize going to international fans because we don't want to leave you guys out.
Right.
What you can win is an Ultimate Voltron. And that's the 14-inch non-combining Voltron.
And it's really, really cool in its own right. It is more tune accurate, as Transformers fans would say. It's more tune accurate in its proportions than the combining toy. It's very articulated. It makes all the cool lights and sounds that we all love. It's a great toy in its own right.
Yeah, so you can enter by just sending us an email at letsvoltronpodcast@gmail.com. And in that email, all we need is your first and last name and your email address, and that's it. And we will sign you up for our newsletter, and you'll be entered in the contest.
Yes, and where do we send videos?
Videos are also sent to our email address at letsvoltronpodcast@gmail.com. And it only has to be a 15-second video. And you, like I said, you could take it from a phone, from a camera, from anywhere. We asked that you do it in the style of an 80s commercial. And what we did was we gave you a couple of links to a couple of 80s commercials to give you an idea of what we're talking about. Those links are available on letsvoltron.com/85. So if you go to that webpage, you'll see, as you scroll down, we talk about the contest. It's called the Voltron Retro Commercial Sweepstakes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two links to two commercials that were actually shown on TV in the 1980s for the original Voltron toys.
Yep.
So if you can just get yourself playing with those toys in a similar style as those 80s commercials, send those in to us. We're going to compile them all together into a real 80s style commercial, but except everything's Voltron Legendary Defender with the new toys from Playmates Toys.
Yeah, and keep in mind, you know, you don't have to grow a mullet or wear fluorescent clothing or all that other stuff that people really didn't do with the frequency that everybody thinks they did in the 80s. Just have fun, be creative, send in whatever you got. We will stitch it together into a fun commercial, and let's just have fun with it.
Right. Please send us your videos or send us your emails for letsvoltronpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll take care of everything else.
And again, the rules are at letsvoltron.com/85.
All right. Thank you very much. We also want to celebrate a special anniversary here at Let's Voltron.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Do you know it's been 1 year since you joined me as co-host?
Yeah, but time has really flown, hasn't it?
Yes. I can't believe it's been 1 year already.
Yeah. So February 19th, 2016, I started out here with episode 52, which was an interview with Jonathan Tschaikowsky, who is probably the world's preeminent collector of Trendmasters prototype toys. And the reason we had him on is because among those toys were toys from Voltron the Third Dimension back in the late 90s. So, gosh, it's been a heck of a year. A lot of fun.
Yes, it has, hasn't it? And we actually got to meet face-to-face at New York Comic Con.
Yeah. You know, I was beginning to think that we were both maybe just disembodied voices, but we do have physical forms. It's amazing.
And what was even cooler was that Joaquim and Lauren got to see you face-to-face and actually know that, yeah, you do exist.
Yeah, you've been very privileged to be able to flex your daily schedule from time to time to speak to them, you know, through various interviews, so by the phone, through Skype, and of course to actually go to more conventions that I've been fortunate enough to attend. I was sort of like this strange, you know, who is this guy? But I guess I actually appeared at New York Comic Con, and that was cool.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me as a co-host, because things have really picked up since you've come on board.
Well, thank you, number one. Number two, it's definitely not because of me. It's because that the fine folks at World Events Productions, who owns the Voltron property, has been working with some great partners, DreamWorks Animation, to bring Voltron Legendary Defender to Netflix. Obviously, Netflix for airing the show, Playmates Toys for these great toys, and so many partners who are creating just amazing merchandise. Han Solo, We Love Fine, New Era, so many merchandising partners. It has been a whirlwind of a year and a heck of a lot of fun. So thank you, Mark, for letting me join you on this podcast.
Right. So many other pieces of merchandise may be coming out this year that we don't even know about yet.
Yeah, this is some awesome, awesome. It's just a fun time to be a fan.
Here's the thing. Voltron is coming to Puzzle & Dragons in our first exclusive collaboration for North America. In Puzzle & Dragons' first exclusive collaboration for North America, they're doing I don't know how many people actually play the game Puzzle & Dragons. Puzzle & Dragons is a mobile gaming phenomenon that continues to see tremendous growth. It features an addictive combination of puzzle, dungeon crawling, and monster collecting gameplay. In the game, players capture, collect, and evolve hundreds of elemental monsters while using quick thinking to chain combos and maximize the abilities and skills of their monsters. So, we know that Puzzle & Dragons has surpassed 60 million downloads on the App Store, on Google Play, and Amazon App Store.
Wow.
And now, they're going to be doing a mashup with Voltron Legendary Defender.
That sounds cool.
We're not exactly sure how this is going to fit in together, how it's going to be mashed together, but somehow they're collaborating with Puzzle & Dragons.
So this is a mobile game. I have to tell you, I'm still slower than dirt when it comes to texting people. I got fat fingers or something, but this game sounds really cool. When Voltron hits, I may check this out.
Well, here's the thing. You're combining two fandoms here. You're combining the Puzzle and Dragons fandom, which, like we said, has 60 million downloads. And I wonder just, you know, how many are regularly playing the game. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're talking in the millions like that, and then you're talking about all the people that are part of the Voltron fandom, you may be getting, you know, people from the Voltron fandom playing the game just because it's Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you may have Puzzle and Dragons people, you know, playing it more because they like Voltron.
Yeah.
So it's probably a good collaboration, but I still don't know how it's going to work.
I don't either. I'm not that clued in on this particular game, but it does sound interesting and worth checking out.
Right. We don't have an idea as to when this is going to, you know, take place, but we know it's going to be sometime this year.
Very cool.
In addition to the other news that we got about the Wave 2 of Voltron toys coming from Playmates Toys later this year as well,
mm-hmm.
we are also looking forward to maybe some announcements of other things happening. So WonderCon is coming up.
Yes, it is.
And while we were talking to Tyler Labine, he also did say that they would be back at WonderCon.
And that is good stuff. We are planning to be there, aren't we, Mark?
Yes, we are.
That will be a lot of fun.
Yes, we are.
I've never attended WonderCon, so this should be a fun experience.
Yeah, this one is in Anaheim. Last year it was in Los Angeles just because the Anaheim Convention Center was getting construction. So this year it will be back in its home in Anaheim.
Sounds great. I've never been to California at all, so this will be a fun time.
All right. We could show you around.
Cool.
We've been there a few times.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it's our home away from home. Let's just jump into the Depths then.
Let's do it.
Okay, The Depths was written by Joshua Hamilton and directed by Eugene Lee. And like we said, this was the one that was screened at New York Comic Con for the fans that attended the panel.
Yeah, so this was a pleasant revisitation of that episode when it hit Netflix.
And the reason that we could see episode 2 as compared to episode 1 was that they had, you know, really teased what was going on with Shiro and with Keith in that teaser trailer. And I'm sure that they didn't want to expose what had actually happened so that that teaser trailer could still maintain its effect.
Yeah, they wanted that teaser trailer to really tease, and it did.
But what this second episode does is it still takes us from right what happened at the end of season 1, and it just shows it from a different perspective.
Yeah, the first two episodes basically occur in parallel.
Exactly. They could have happened both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in this one, we're just talking about Hunk and Lance.
Yep.
And so we see them in the wormhole where they got sucked out of the castle ship, and they're just floating around inside of that purple wormhole now. But then they get sucked to another part of the universe they know not where. And what ends up happening is they just end up falling out of the sky in a planet, and they just fall right into the water. It looks like an ocean or a sea or something like that.
Right.
You know, at the beginning, you know, you hear Hunk saying, "What just happened?" And Lance saying, "I don't know, but we got to stay together." And then they fall into the sea on a distant planet.
Yeah, I think my favorite line from this bit, and probably from the entire episode, is when Hunk says, well, Pidge says that, you know, space is 90% nothing, and Lance says, well, Pidge's science is wrong.
Yeah, I still like what he said before that. You know, they just land in the water, and Lance says, "Hunk, you okay, Hunk?" And then, of course, Hunk throws up.
Yes.
And says, "I'm fine." And Lance says, "You just threw up, didn't you?" And Hunk says, "Yeah, you would too if you got sucked out of a wormhole at light speed, then crash-landed on an ice planet and ended up underwater." And Lance says, "That is what happened to me." I just love that because the same exact thing happened to Lance, and Hunk forgets that.
You know, this is one of those times where the writers have very skillfully woven a sort of exposition into the dialogue. You know, they could have just said, "Gee, the wormhole got funky and it threw us out and we landed on this planet." You know, more directly recapping the end of season 1. But here it was done very quickly and to the point, and more importantly, it was funny.
Right. So the same thing that happened to the other paladins in their lines after they came out of the wormhole is basically Lance looking at his screen, seeing that his main system is down, and then Hunk also saying, I'm on reserve power. The funny thing is that when Hunk says he's on reserve power, he says, my lion's pretty much dead in the water.
Wah, 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 wah.
And the funny thing is as he says that, he sends a backwards glance at the audience.
Yes, breaking the fourth wall. Gotta love it.
Yes, I love that. And the funny thing is Lance, of course, he groans and says, you know, this situation's bad enough, Hunk. Don't make it worse with puns.
Puns are what make the world go round. That's all I'm saying.
So Hunk is just shocked that they hit a planet at all instead of just floating into space somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where your comment says, I thought Pidge said space was 90% empty. And then Lance says, well, apparently Pidge's science is wrong.
Yeah, and of course in the real world, space is much more than 90% empty, but, you know, let's go with it. It was funny. Loved it.
Right. That's like saying, you know, the Earth is mostly land. Well, it's not. It's mostly water.
Yeah.
You know, Hunk's trying to contact the others, get help immediately. Apparently that's not working. And then the lions finally hit the bottom of the sea. You know, they had been floating the whole time that Lance and Hunk were talking.
Mm-hmm.
So Lance says, we got to check for damage and get these lions running. And then, like that, Lance gets his power back.
I wonder if that's foreshadowing. Will we learn something about Blue Lion over the course of this season or next? I wonder.
Well, you notice in this one, Lance's lion gets his power back.
Yes, it does.
Blue Lion gets the power back, but Yellow Lion does not.
Right.
That immediately gives you, you know, cause to think about it.
Yes.
So they hit the bottom of the sea. Lance gets power back, and as soon as he gets power back, the Blue Lion starts shining out of his eyes like headlights.
Mm-hmm.
And Lance immediately sees a creature in the water. He blinks his eyes twice. Blink, blink. Hunk, did you just see something swim by? And Hunk says, what? No. And then Lance sees it again. And this time it's really clearer now. And he goes, no way. This is going to sound crazy, but I think I just saw a mermaid.
Now, how many times did you in the 80s, Mark, watching Voltron, think, I wonder what would happen if the Voltron Force met mermaids?
Well, with all the times that Blue Lion went underwater, you thought there would have been somewhere where there would have been something with underwater beings of some sort, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But this is what I love. One of the many things I love about this show, it's that the writing is so clever. The environments are so diverse. If there's any Voltron series that could possibly make a mermaid plot work, it's this one. And this episode definitely works.
And here's the thing. It's not mermaids in the way that we think of mermaids.
Right.
Okay, because the way we think of mermaids is either The Little Mermaid.
Or Daryl Hannah.
Or Daryl Hannah from Splash. Or the ones that we saw in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Right, right, right.
Did you see that one?
I saw the first one and I've forgotten almost all of it.
This was the fourth one. Okay. The one that had to do with the Fountain of Youth.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Right. So, yeah. So basically all of our ideas of what mermaids look like are from those. But in this, mermaids look a lot different.
Yeah, they're alien mermaids.
Right. Of course, Lauren Montgomery had a lot to do with this because she was a big fan of The Little Mermaid, and we found out from New York Comic Con and everything that a lot of that came from her in this one.
That's cool. That's my wife's favorite Disney movie as well.
So Hunk immediately doesn't believe that there are mermaids, and then I like the fact that Lance calls him dude. He says, dude, I'm serious. Look, there it is again. And then this time, Hunk actually sees it. Hunk is still saying, hey, knock it off. We have to stay focused and get to the others. And then he sees Lance swimming out in front of them. And he goes, and you're outside of our line. Great. So Lance says, I know we have to find the others. I'm just saying maybe this thing can help. Also, it's a mermaid. A mermaid. Come on, let's find it. Hunk says, no way. Nope, nope, not going out there. And then Lance says, okay, you stay here by yourself in the dark, all alone, in a lion that's out of commission. All of a sudden, Hulk bolts into the water and grabs Lance. Don't leave me! That's the funniest thing, is that it's so easy for Hunk to get scared. But we also find out that Lance is pretty easy to get scared, too.
Yeah.
So they start chasing the mermaid because they see the mermaid again. They finally catch up with her, and as soon as they catch up with her and she says hello, there's a couple of what looks like big ugly guards that come up behind them, and they get scared by the guards and they kind of hide behind her.
Yeah.
So she says, please do not startle our guests. And she says, I am Florona. So we have a name for this mermaid now. It's Florona.
Yep. Very cool. I love the visual designs of these mermaids. As you sort of alluded to earlier, these could have just been your typical, you know, human woman from the waist up, fish from the waist down. I like that they took an alien approach to this.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of different things going on there. I mean, there's the usual two eyes, a nose and a mouth type of thing, but there's completely different stuff going on everywhere else.
Yeah.
So she says, the almighty Queen Luxia, keeper of our land, would love to meet with you. And Lance suspiciously asks, wait, how did your queen know we were here? And then she just says, Queen Luxia knows all. So they head toward the village, and Lance and Hunk get to ride seahorses. Did you notice that? The seahorses?
Yeah, it was cool.
That was cool. Hunk says, Lance, I know this mermaid thing is a dream of yours, but we really got to go. So Lance is, well, we will, big guy, we will, but let's meet this queen first. Besides, maybe she can help us. And if I just happen to find the future Mrs. Blue Lion, well, then that is all right with me. And when he says that, he smiles and he gets that tooth that gleams bright white as he smiles.
Yeah, I love that.
That's a signature move of his, you know.
Yeah, and one thing I really like about this episode, this the beginning of this episode, Hunk is the serious-minded, almost the leader of the two of them. But later in the episode, when all the...
Commotion?
Yeah, when all the commotion takes place and, and Hunk is under the influence, as it were, Lance becomes the serious one and sort of leads the charge. And I like that it transitions from Hunk as the more serious character to Lance.
Well, he ends up fulfilling the prophecy.
Right.
I mean, the prophecy that the other three mermaids had, that he was their savior.
Yep.
He really was.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, without Blue Lion and him and the new power of the Blue Lion that we see later, hint, hint.
The Blue Mercat, yes.
Yes, they wouldn't have been able to rescue everybody.
Right.
All right, so we meet Queen Luxia, and she welcomes them to their village as honored guests. And Lance says, the honor's all ours. I'm Lance. Basically, he loses his horizon and he floats upside down. And then the whole time Hunk is talking, he's trying to get Lance righted back up again. And he says, Mrs. Queen, Your Honor, Your Excellence, I'm Hunk and me and my buddy here, we crash landed on your lovely planet, but we really need to get back in touch with our friends who are in space. Would you possibly have any way of doing that?
And it's just funny, he says it so matter-of-factly, like they would have any inkling of how to do anything in space.
Right, and the whole time he's saying that, he's just trying to get Lance straightened back up again.
Right.
Queen Luxia says, Hunk, Lance, I can solve all of your problems. Here we are all safe and warm.
The first time we hear that wonderful phrase.
Actually, the first time we heard it was from Florona when she first met them.
Okay, I stand corrected.
She actually said, welcome to my village. Here all are safe and warm.
There we go.
I floated over that the last time. Get it?
You floated over that.
Get it? You?
Oh, nice.
There was a little delay there, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. There are crickets chirping in my head.
Okay. So Hunk says to her, you use magic, don't you? I bet this castle's a ship. The castle's a ship, am I right? Just don't say anything if I'm right. I love that.
Yeah.
Queen Luxia says, here, I've brought you these. And they put them over their helmets. And it's a bubble coral that will provide them with all the air they need. So after the bubble goes over their heads, they're able to take off their helmets and just breathe with the bubble.
Which makes them much easier for the audience to identify by just seeing their heads instead of inside their helmets for the entire episode.
Right. And it also doesn't have that helmet sound of where they're, you know, over the communications of the helmet.
Yeah, now in the 1970s, here we go through the Wayback Machine, Star Trek had an animated series in 1973 through 75. And one thing that they did in that show was very similar to what they did in this episode. In the original Star Trek live action show of the 60s, when they went into space or some hostile environment, they wore basically a space suit. In the 70s, they just wore their regular uniforms and had these force field belts that sort of had this energy aura kind of thing around them, but otherwise they looked normal. And it just made it easier for the audience to say, okay, there's Kirk, there's Spock, and all that. And they sort of did the same thing here. It's nice to see their regular faces, and, you know, their facial expressions aren't as obscured by the helmets and visors. And, of course, their voices aren't distorted anymore. So it works.
Right. And these guys are really fascinated by this. They think it's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want to have a bubble on your head and be able to just breathe normally underwater?
Right. And then the Queen says, "And rest assured, your space vessels will be well protected." And what we see is them, they're towing the lions to the village, and the lions have their protective barriers up.
Yeah, those hexagonal force field grids. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she says, "Please follow me." And Lance looks back and he sees something and he says, "What is that?" And he's referring to the glowing garden that's just outside the castle. And Queen Luxia says, "This is the giver of life to our people, the Baku Garden. When the waters froze over, we were forced to live down here. The garden provides us the warmth and food we need to survive. Because of it, we are taken care of. Here, all are safe and warm."
You know, it's funny, the first time I watched this, some of these obvious, now obvious clues that there's some really screwy stuff going on, you know, it wasn't so obvious the first time through for me. You know, the ability of these mer people to not only know that these lions and paladins have landed from space, you know, and then they have the ability to move around these enormous lions underwater. There's some serious tech or magic or something going on. And the paladins are a bit suspicious, but, you know, looking back, wow, some really weird stuff happening.
Right. So in the next scene, they appear to be in a dining room where Lance and Hunk are being provided a meal. And Lance is doing his pointing finger thing at the mermaids that are giggling all around him.
Mm-hmm.
It's another one of his signature moves. And Hunk, who is really chowing down on the food, says, "Your royalness," and he clears his throat, "if I may, the food is amazing. It's even better than Balmerin cave bugs."
He actually likes those things now.
Yeah. So the Queen says, "I'm glad you enjoy it. It was picked fresh from the Baku garden. And I hope you enjoy the entertainment." And then they see something behind a curtain and some sultry dance music playing. Lance thinks it's another mermaid behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Whoa." Well, what it actually turns out to be is an octopus.
Yes, I rewatched this episode earlier today just to refresh my memories, and I was watching it with my 5-year-old daughter, and gosh, it was just so fun to revisit that scene. I love the jarring reveal there.
and of course, Lance looks shocked, and they show it in an anime style. Yeah, so Hunk says, "So about us getting in contact with our friends, how can you help us?" And the Queen says, "Please, let's discuss that after the dance." So the octopus turns on the side and spins the tentacles, which seems to have a hypnotic effect on Lance and Hunk. Hunk says, "Whoa, this dance is amazing. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen." Queen Luxia says, "I'm glad you enjoy it. Put your mind at ease. Let your consciousness drift like the tide."
Yeah, there's some really, really screwy stuff happening here.
Yeah, okay. All right, there's a lot of things I want to talk about this, but yeah, basically, they're getting to be in a trance. Hunk says, "Yes, I will do that." And he says, "Weren't we just talking about something?" It almost seems like for a minute that he gets his wits back temporarily. But then Queen Luxia says, "You were just telling me how much you like it here, how much you wanted to stay forever."
Isn't that something?
Yeah. So Hunk goes right back into his trance and says, "Oh, that's right. Here we are all safe and warm."
And that's his first utterance of that phrase.
Right. And he says to Lance, "Lance, I think we should stay here forever." And of course, now Lance is floating upside down again, also in a trance, and he says, okay. So here's my thoughts on this. Did you ever see the second Percy Jackson movie?
I have not.
Okay, in the second Percy Jackson movie, the three friends of the Percy Jackson group there are in like a casino of some sort.
Okay.
And in this casino, you know, everybody's having fun playing and stuff like that. And what they don't know is that people have been stuck in that casino for years. What happens is they find out that it's what the servers are serving them. It's a special kind of food that makes them fall into this trance.
Okay.
Makes them want to stay there forever. How do you break out of something like that? You know, in Percy Jackson, it happened, but it's a special kind of food that makes it happen there. And in this one, obviously, it was the octopus that did it first, but as we find out later, it's also the food.
Yeah, I almost wonder if the food, you know, they were sitting at the table. I don't remember if they had, Hunk had already begun to eat.
Yeah.
I wonder if that swirling effect was the only thing that pushed them into that trance. I assume that the food was sort of a catalyst, or at least kind of, dropped their shields, so to speak, so that the spinny octopus thing would have more of an effect.
Right, and I think it's also a thing where the food only has a temporary effect. If you stop eating the food, eventually it'll wear off.
Ah, yeah.
So what we see them is, next they're in their, like, underwater cave. They're in a room where they're sleeping, and it looks like they're sleeping on an anemone.
Mm-hmm.
So they have these little anemone beds that they're sleeping in, and of course Lance is dreaming and snoring, and he says, I don't need pants. I'm a mermaid. And of course, that's something that has become a big meme on the internet right now. Lance saying, I don't need pants. So some new creatures are breaking into their room and approach Lance with a large bag. And he says, huh? Who are... And they cover him in the bag, and they pull him away. And Hunk is also snoring. They put him in a bag, too, and try to take both of them out of the room through this hole that they had created in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But Hunk is too big and gets stuck.
Oops.
Yeah. So one of the creatures says, leave him. We have to get out of here. So they quickly leave with Lance and leave Hunk behind. So now we see Lance back at wherever they had taken him. And he has his arms tied behind his back and a starfish on his face. He sighs and smacks his lips and says, hello? Good morning. Where am I? One of the creatures says, he's awake. And then Lance says, why am I blindfolded? Is this a game? I like games. Then they spray a neon green gas in his face. And he says, wait, where am I? Why am I blindfolded? Is this a game? I hate games.
I love that the lines that he says before he snaps out of it parallel the lines that he says after he snaps out of it. You
right.
Know, just to show very, very, you know, overtly that he's out of it and back to normal.
Right. So one of them pulls the starfish off of his face and says, it's okay. You were mind swished, but now we want to, and Lance says, kill me? Think again. And then he tries to escape. And one of the creatures says, wait, come back. He runs into some sharp objects. Then he sees some creatures that he thinks are cute, but then they grow big and scare him. And he says, don't hurt me. So one of the creatures says, please, we are not here to hurt you. We brought you here to ask for your help. I am Plaxum. And then the other two give their names. Blumfump. Swern. And Lance says, are you saying names, or is this some kind of weird spell you're putting on me?
I had a heck of a time understanding their names watching the episode. The subtitles are very useful here.
Oh, yeah. The subtitles are very useful because, yeah, I would not have been able to re-say those names again right after they were given.
Yeah, especially Blumfump. Is that how you said it?
Blumfump.
Yeah, okay. You know, because their voices are distorted because they're underwater. It makes them sound more alien and aquatic and all that. So you couple that with the funny-sounding names, and it's really hard to follow them. But I do love the names.
Well, here's the thing. There's a voice actor out there named Steve Blum.
Mm-hmm.
It's spelled B-L-U-M.
Right.
So I'm thinking they may be this may be a little bit of an homage to Steve Blum.
That's cool, if it is.
So they named it Blumfump. But I think they also were trying to, you know, the way that they wear the jellyfish over their heads, and they sort of have to talk through the jellyfish tentacles.
Right, right.
It's the sound that sort of they make when they talk. So, blump, blump. You know, something like that.
Yeah. But I will say that his name in particular sounds quite weird, doesn't it?
Yes. Like Weird Al Yankovic?
Yes, maybe.
Yeah, we do know that Blumfump is played by Weird Al Yankovic. What we don't know is, and I'll get to the additional voices at the end of this, we don't know which of the women that played the additional voices plays Plaxum and which one plays Swirm.
Yeah.
We don't know which one plays Swirm, which one plays Plaxum, and which one plays Florona, and which one plays the Queen,
right.
Queen Luxia.
Right.
You know, if we can get that information for you, we will. They gave their names, and Plaxum says, "We believe you are our savior," and they bow to him. So how do you think Lance reacts to that?
I can imagine how he would react just generically to being called a savior. I mean, this is Lance we're talking about.
Yeah, I think he eats that up.
Yeah.
So he's like, "Why do you think I'm your savior? What do you want with me?" And Blumfump says, "The queen is mind-swishing everyone, controlling their thoughts. We believe you can stop her." At that point, we switch back to Hunk, who's still asleep. He finally wakes up and says, "Lance, Lance, you around, Lance?" And then Florona is there with the queen, and Florona says, "Is everything all right?" And Hunk says, "I can't find Lance. Also, there's a hole in our wall." Hunk looks up and he's still stuck in the hole in the wall. And Queen Luxia says, "There was a break-in. Those cave dwellers must have taken him." Florona says, "Them again? What should we do?" And Queen Luxia says, "Those meddling mermaids are harmless, but the air breather could prove troublesome if he doesn't fall back under our control." And Hunk says, wait. "Who needs to fall under our control? Is Lance gone? We gotta find Lance." And the queen says, "And we will. Don't worry your little mind about it. But first, we need to sit down and eat, talk, and clear our heads." It would be nice just to have somebody around like that, just to get us back to the a less stress-free environment. You know what I mean?
Oh, gosh, yes.
I know that would help me a little bit.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
So Hunk says, "No, I'm not really sure I can eat right now. If Lance has been taken," and as he says this, he's eating. He says, "Oh boy, that is good though." And she says, "See, that's all you need. Here we are all safe and warm." Hunk says, "Okay." So the queen says to her people, "They are going to come. We must destroy what remains of their kind and bring Lance under our control. But first, Florona, you were in charge of watching the air breathers. So now it is time for you to take a swim in the garden." And you could tell there's something really dark going on here, isn't there?
Yes. I mean, she says it very calmly, but with a sense of finality. Like, this is a big thing.
This is a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, you were the one that was supposed to be watching them and you let him get away. Now you're going to get punished.
Yeah, I must say that when she said that line, I was not feeling safe and warm about Florona.
No. And Florona just takes it. She says, "Yes, my queen." So anyway, we get back to Lance and he says, wait a minute. Okay, you're trying to tell me the queen is brainwashing people, but she's so safe and warm. Swern asks, "What do you remember from yesterday?" He says, "I remember we crashed. We saw the mermaids in the village. Then we had dinner. And then Swern says, "You can't remember because you were under her control." Blumfump says, "Our theory is," and he shows a drawing. I love this part.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this drawing that looks like a kid's drawing, right?
Yeah.
He says, "The queen controls mind by using her voice to strike certain head switches in your ear pan." And then Plaxum shows up and says, showing another drawing, "And her magnetic stare locks onto your eye-to-brain pathway plug." And then Swern, with another drawing, says, "Plus, her mind control sonar is always broadcasting through the waters. bong, bong, bong. And Plaxum says, she trains her people to use hypnotic movements to lull you under her control. And Lance says, I do remember a dancer. Blumfump says, good, because I haven't finished my picture for that one.
So Lance, through a dance, fell into a trance.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Lance dance trance.
Uh-huh. Sorry.
That's really okay. I am. Blumfump says, but you see, she was infecting your brain. And Lance comes to the realization. He says, holy crow, I had a mind-controlling brain infection. So Plaxum asks him to sit down, and he sits in what looks like an oyster shell.
Mm-hmm.
Blumfump says, the entire village is under the queen's mind control. The only reason we aren't is because we wear these jellyfish that hide our brains from her powers. It's like we have no brains whatsoever. You can't control what doesn't exist. Lance says, right, of course. And Blumfump says, our heads are completely empty.
And at this point, it really seems like they are, doesn't it?
Lance says, yeah, I get it. So Swern, who seems to be measuring Lance's head, says, many years ago, the queen froze over the surface by blocking the thermal vents. She forced everyone to the depths, where she began to brainwash them. They became her prisoners. Plaxum says, what size? Swern says, 8 7/8 aquameters. Lance says, but what's the point? Why mind control the mermaids? And Blumfump says, to kill them! Lance says, really? Blumfump says, well, we don't know that for sure, but hundreds of mermaids have disappeared and never come back. And now we switch back to Queen Luxia. And Queen Luxia says, goodbye, Florona. And they're over that Buka garden.
Right.
She says, it's time to return to the giver of life. And you see Florona just float down into the garden and disappear.
I love that this series as a whole and this episode demonstrates this, that it can show death in a show that is appropriate for children, but it doesn't shy away from, you know, having bad things happen to good people. It basically, by not explicitly saying this person is going to her death, but just very strongly implying it, you know, you can sort of, you know, the mind fills in the blanks, obviously. I mean, it's very clear what's happening here, but it's nice that in a show that again is appropriate for children, they don't have to gloss over that sort of thing.
Well, it kind of reminds me of, did you see The Avengers?
No, I haven't. I'm sorry.
You haven't seen The Avengers?
No, I'm a little burned out of superhero movies, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, wow.
I know. Okay.
Well, in The Avengers, Loki takes control of Hawkeye.
Okay.
And in the process of taking control of Hawkeye, Hawkeye does some things like kill people.
Ah, yes.
In working for Loki. And when he finally gets, you know, the whole control of Loki knocked out of him by Black Widow. Mm-hmm. When Black Widow knocks the Loki mind control out of him and he's recovering, he says, you know, what did I do while I was under? And she goes, don't go there because, you know, that's not going to help us right now. You know, it's just like, you can't hold yourself responsible for something that happened to you while you were under all that control.
Right. And this sort of flashes back to, what Josh Keaton had told us when we spoke with him about his headcanon about Shiro and what happened to Shiro. What did Shiro do during his year in Galra captivity?
Right. And Shiro wants to know, did I actually hurt anybody, you know, that was innocent?
Right.
You know, and that kind of thing is just going to drive him crazy.
Yep.
Going back to this. All right. So we're back to Swern again, who says, we've tried to take out the queen, but failed several times, and every attempt depletes our numbers. Now there's only 3 of us left. Without you, there is no hope. And Plaxum says, found one. Lance says, what do you want from me? Blumfump says, we saw the mercat you came in. We think it can stand up against the queen and her forces, but first you'll need one of these. And what Plaxum said she found was a jellyfish.
Right.
So Plaxum says, now, they sting pretty bad and don't smell great. Blumfump says, if my theory is correct, the smelliest ones block the most mind control rays.
I love his theories.
Lance says, are you a scientist? Blumfump says, no. Plaxum says, also, they can sometimes make your face swell and you might experience hearing loss. Lance says, would you just put it on already? So she puts it on him and he immediately says, it burns. And Plaxum says, that means it's working. So Lance, with his face all mangled and, of course, swelled up, says, so what's the plan? Plaxum says, here's what Blumfump came up with. And Blumfump says, all right, this is you. He's using miniatures like Dr. Emmett Brown from Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, this is you. You act like you're still thought swirled and get past the guards. You get your Mercat and grab the queen. We'll mount a full-scale attack on the castle and free the people. Lance says, then I'll be a hero. And he puts on his high voice. Oh, Lance, you're so handsome. Now his normal voice. And modest. And then back to the high voice. Oh, thank you for saving us. Can I kiss you? In his normal voice. Maybe just a little. And then he makes kissing noises. And then Blumfump says, well, now you're just making a tree kiss a turtle.
The models, right?
Right, the models that he's using. And Lance says, that's a turtle, but there's an actual turtle right here. And as he's saying that, a turtle swims by. And Blumfump says, we needed the turtle to play the wall.
I got to tell you, this reminded me a little bit when Lance is play acting that he's, the Lance toy or model is smooching some mermaid person. I was reminded a little bit of Spaceballs. Where, Dark Helmet is playing with his action figures, his Spaceballs dolls, and Princess Vespa is, she resists Dark Helmet, but ultimately gives in, and they start kissing, and then he gets caught by Colonel Sanders.
Right, and he says, you didn't see me, did you? And he goes, no, sir, I did not see you playing with your dolls.
Yes. love it.
Yeah. Okay, so Blumfump says, if your acting fails you, this holds 3 doses of antidote to use on the guards, and he's showing them a little fish that looks a little puffed up.
Mm-hmm.
It should interrupt the queen's mind control long enough for you to escape. Lance says, I don't think I'll be needing this. I missed 14 days of the third grade for a stomach ache that I never really had. And I believe that.
Yeah.
I completely believe that. So Lance approaches the guards. And he says, hello, Murguards. Isn't everything just so safe and warm here? Anyway, I'm off to my lion. They grab him with vines. And he says, oh, come on. Like, he couldn't even get the act out that quick, you know? So Queen Luxia says to him, I had a feeling you'd come back to your vessel. Servant, take Lance to the Baku Garden.
Uh-oh.
And, of course, the servant is Hunk.
Yep.
And Lance sees him coming at him. He says, Hunk, hey, buddy, it's me. Snap out of it. It's Lance. And he tries to use the little fish with the antidote. But Hunk knocks it away. And he goes, darn it. And he tries to get away. And the queen says, everyone capture him. Lance tries to throw something at the guards, but it just floats in the water. That was so funny.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, he's acting like he's going to throw this disc at them that's going to hit them, and all it does is float in the water.
Yeah, and how many times have we, I mean, certainly when we were kids, tried to do something like that underwater and thought, oh, why didn't that work?
Yeah, this is like the biggest action scene other than the one with the monster at the end.
Right.
There's a big fight between him and Hunk. And he keeps on trying to grab the fish that fell out of his hands. And Hunk, you know, just keeps on hitting him against the wall and everything. And then finally, Lance is saying, while he's fighting Hunk, he's saying, Hunk, please, I don't want to hurt you. And Hunk is saying, must keep Queen safe and warm. What he ends up doing is he ends up going towards the fish. Hunk grabs him from, like, the head. He's able to catch the fish with his foot and fling it back, and it hits Hunk in the face and blows out the gas.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hunk says, whoa, where am I? What am I doing? Is that a jellyfish on your head? And he says, Hunk, you've been mind controlled by the Queen, and you're trying to kill me. And Hunk says, oh, really? Sorry. My bad.
I love that. He just dismisses it. Oh, sorry, my bad. Let's move on.
Lance says, we're kind of in the middle of a battle, so I'm going to need your help. Hunk says, got it. They start to go to try to get away, and they get surrounded.
Oops.
And while they're surrounded, and then all of a sudden, the other three, Blumfum, Swern, and Plaxum, all come at them, and they actually blow some of that antidote in the guards' faces. And that gets enough for Lance and Hunk to get away. Hunk says, now, who are these weirdos? And Lance says, those weirdos are with us. And Plaxum says, come, we must hurry to your meerkats. Lance says, you hanging on? Because Plaxum actually gets on the outside of the blue lion. And Plaxum says, yes, let's go. And Hunk says, what's the plan? Plaxum says, we need to grab the queen and take her to an ice prison Blumfump built, where her mind control powers will be trapped because of the thick ice and the jellyfish. And Hunk says, okay, who's that? And Lance says, it's Plaxum. Just go with it. So they see the queen. Hunk says, there she is. And they grab her and they pull her into Blue Lion.
Right.
And Lance says, got her. And the queen says, where am I? What's going on? And Plaxum says, what's going on is you're not mind controlling these people anymore, your majesty. And the queen says, what? Mind control? Me? No. And then she realizes something and she says, please, my people are in danger. You must go back. Lance says, what's going on? Plaxum says, nothing. It's a ruse. And Lance says, are you sure? And the queen says, I wasn't controlling anyone. The Baku. And Plaxum says, she's lying. And the queen says, no, I'm not. The queen says, please, the last thing I remember is that organism in the garden falling from space. I went to inspect it. I thought it was a plant. Hunk said, wait a second. We've been eating that plant. And it's delicious. It's so safe and warm. And Lance says, aha, mind swishing. It was on the plant the whole time. And the queen was the first one to be mind controlled. Plaxum says, but why? And the queen says, the Baku have been harvesting us all. We are its food source. Lance says, no way. Hunk says, I think she's telling the truth. Look out the window. And then they see the garden turn into this big monster.
Right.
Can you describe that monster?
Very creepy, weird. That's all I can remember off the top of my head. It was just the serpent-like sort of tentacles with the four-leafed jaws, you know what I mean? Where they sort of right. open up and have some really creepy-looking mouths on them and all that. I have to tell you, when Queen Luxia said, you know, we are its food source, I was thinking, Soylent Algae Green, it's people!
Yeah. So Lance says, you two get somewhere safe. And he's talking to Plaxum and the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
He says, okay, Hunk, change of plans. The Queen is actually good, and that thing is bad. Let's take it out. They start trying to go after it, and the thing knocks Yellow Lion all over the place. He says, that thing's too quick for me. I can't hit it. My lion's not very good in water. Lance says, really? My lion's moving better than ever. There's something about fighting underwater that's making me feel extra quick and powerful. I think I know how to stop that thing.
Yeah, and just to remind our listeners here that in the main title sequence to Voltron Legendary Defender, you see Blue Lion in water. So this is seemingly the first direct follow-up to that there may be some connection between the Blue Lion and water.
Well, obviously from the previous versions of Voltron, there was always a connection between Blue Lion and water.
Right. So for the newer fans, this connection may be, a bit of a revelation, but yes, if you've been with Voltron since any of the earlier incarnations, water is the main power source of Blue Lion in the earlier shows, and it seemingly is at least a plus one or a plus up to Blue Lion in this series.
In a previous version of Voltron, in Defender of the Universe, Lotor had a plan for stopping Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, there's a lake just outside of the Castle of Lions on Eris. And that lake was where Blue Lion's den was.
Right.
And Allura was in Blue Lion. And what they did was they drained the water from the lake.
They basically evaporated it or boiled all the water off of the lake.
Yeah. Right? So there was no water in the lake anymore. And then all of a sudden, Allura couldn't power Blue Lion.
Right.
So we found out, you know, very quickly that without water, Blue Lion is powerless.
Yep. And so it seems that at the very least, water is something that makes Blue Lion tick better in this show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Lance says, I think I know how to stop that thing. And Hunk says, how? He says, we got to stop shooting where the creature is and start shooting where the creature is going to be. And Hunk says, I got it. And then Lance says, now the hunter becomes, oh no, he's free. Because what they had done was they had hit a rock that had stopped and on top of the snake part of the monster, the Baku monster. And it suddenly got free from the rock.
Right.
As the creature comes after Blue Lion again, then Blue Lion basically gives some kind of signal to Lance, and he goes, what? And he hears electronic beeping and everything, and he gets an idea from Blue Lion about what to do. And he goes, here goes nothing. All of a sudden, there's this new weapon that comes on top of Blue Lion.
Yep.
And it fires a shot at the monster, and all of a sudden, the whole place is coming down. Let's get out of here, and the rocks fall all over the Baku monster. What the power was like a sonic boom power.
Right.
Right? And it caused all the rocks to fall down. And Hunk says, dude, you just dropped a sonic boom on him.
Now, I wanted to take a very brief detour here. That's one of the things that these Voltron Legendary Defender toys actually says. If you combine the five legendary lions into Voltron, one of the phrases that you unlock is a Hunk voice saying, you dropped a sonic boom on him, which, you know, I guess arguably the toys gave you a one-line spoiler for this episode.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, and actually some of the other phrases seem to come from Season 2. Of course, the weapons that attach to Red and Blue Lion at a minimum are certainly consistent with what we've seen to this point in Season 2. The large weapon that appeared on the back of Red Lion in the Black Paladin, that's represented in the legendary Red Lion. And then this new weapon is represented on the legendary Blue Lion figure.
Right. So the final scene just has them all sitting around with Blumfump, Swern, Plaxum, and the Queen, and Lance and Hunk. So Lance says, so Blumfump, the jellyfish, the magnetic stare, the hypnotic dance, you got it all wrong. It was the food. And Blumfump says, well, I did say they were theories. Merge science isn't always about getting the right answer. And the Queen says, I want to thank you all for what you've done. You freed my people, and I will do all I can to protect that freedom. I vow to be the voice of my people. I beg of you to help. Will you be my advisors? Blumfump says, of course, Your Highness. I have some great ideas. Have you ever heard of electricity?
Now, this is actually an interesting point, because all of the technology that we've seen in this society is organic in nature. And now we're about to see a fantastic sci-fi technical apparatus show up here very soon. But none of it seems to be mechanical in nature. It all seems to be biological or organic in some way. So as funny as the line is about electricity, actually, it is kind of new to them, seemingly.
Right. So Plaxum says, and I wanted to personally thank you, Lance. And she kisses him.
Yeah. And of course, she's got this what we think might be this crazy looking head. It's this jellyfish on her head, and Lance is pretty repulsed by the whole thing.
Yeah, and she says, finally, I can remove this thing. So she removes the jellyfish that was on her head, and she comes out as a glowing, beautiful mermaid. And Lance just goes, whoa. While he's starstruck, Hunk says, Queen Luxia, the reason we came here in the first place was to see if you could help us find our friends. And the Queen said, of course. It has been many years since we have activated the energy beacon, but perhaps it is time to rebuild our civilization and reach out to interstellar travelers once again. So they set up this thing on top of a ring, and she says, activate energy beacon. And it shoots up through the water, up into space. And then Pidge, who was, you know, monitoring the area, comes out of a wormhole and says, I see the beacon. So then the Queen says, there is a mercat in our system that appears to be heading our way. And Hunk says, it's the Green Lion. Lance says, see, Hunk? I told you they could help us. Now, the next time I go swimming after a mermaid, I hope you won't be complaining the whole time. Hunk says, lesson learned. And that's it.
Yeah. Fun episode, huh?
Yeah. Lance and Hunk got a lot of time in this one, obviously.
Yeah, and, you know, we sort of talked as we gave our first impressions of season two in a recent episode of the podcast that, you know, Lance maybe didn't get that much character development in season two. Hunk might not have gotten some, but I think they both got a chance to shine in this episode, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So maybe they didn't grow as characters quite as much over the season as some of the fans might have hoped, but I think they each got a really nice time in the spotlight here.
Yep. And, of course, you know, there was technically a girl involved for Lance.
Mm-hmm.
He was the savior. He did save the day at the end. He learned a lot more about Blue Lion. He got closer connected to Blue Lion and found out a new power, mm-hmm. the Sonic Boom. So, yeah, there's all kinds of things that happen here.
And really, I think that it is telling about Lance, as funny as he often is as a character. You know, he dreams about mermaids. He doesn't need any pants. He's a mermaid and all this other funny stuff. The fact that he didn't even consider, at least not that we hear, he didn't even consider sticking around for a few hours to hang out with his newly discovered mermaid friend. You know what I mean?
Right.
When Green Lion shows up, they're gone. And so, you know, as crazy as he is about cute girls, as he calls them, and as much as he dreams about mermaids, he's a paladin first. And that's another quality that I think is easily glossed over as we look at just the humorous parts of this episode. You know, Lance, he's got his head on straight.
Yeah. So, as I said before, we'll tell you who the additional voices are. And we don't know, like I said, Swern and Plaxum,
mm-hmm.
and Queen Luxia and Florona. We don't know exactly who did which voice.
Right.
But we do know Blumfump was Weird Al Yankovic.
Woohoo!
We also had Mae Whitman, Kari Wahlgren,
mm-hmm.
and Allison Stoner.
Very cool.
So we've seen all of those people in other things that were pretty good. So
absolutely.
I can't give a full list of all their credits, but they've been in a lot of things.
They have. I recognize all their names.
Yeah. So that's the depths.
Yes, we went in depth big time on the depths, and I love the whimsical nature of this episode, and that's just one of the fun things about Voltron Legendary Defender. I mean, it's got its really heavy moments, it's got its really light moments, and it never goes all the way heavy, it never goes all the way silly. There's always such a nice mix, and this episode definitely demonstrates that.
Right. And like I said, it was the first episode we had seen of season two.
Yeah.
And it did give us a really good idea that at least at the beginning of the season, you were going to see those paladins out of their normal element. You know, the fact that they could not form Voltron, they couldn't count on the others, you know. It was just basically Lance and Hunk together in this one. And at one point, Hunk was against Lance. So mm-hmm. he had to bring Hunk back from the bad side to the good side.
Right.
And with the help of some other allies that he had, he was able to do that.
Right. I think this episode had a bit of a Star Trek quality to it as well. I was reminded just a bit with Lance of Captain Kirk from the 60s TV series, you know, where he meets the girl. And of course, Kirk had this reputation for meeting all these wonderful ladies on various planets throughout the cosmos. But there, I remember episodes where he was thought to be the champion or the savior of some alien species. And of course, Lance is more humorous about it all. But, there, you know, this human-like but very alien society and all that, and this Baku garden that turned out to be something far more sinister. There's very very much of a Star Trek vibe here that I really liked about this episode as well. Fun stuff.
Yeah, and like I said, it reminded me of Percy Jackson about how they had, we want you to stay here forever.
Right.
That kind of thing, you know, and how do you get out of something like that?
Yeah. And so just to clarify to our listeners, when we talk about things that these episodes remind us of, that's a good thing. It's, you know, it's fun that these various plot threads and character moments and action elements all get woven together, whether they're directly influenced by anything else or not. The end result is so much fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. And obviously, there's a lot of science fiction elements in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some magical elements. There's some science elements. You know, there's some humor, mm-hmm. obviously. And like we said, that when he did the miniatures thing and he was, you know, telling everybody about the plan, about how they were going to get the queen and everything, that was exactly reminding me of, you know, Dr. Emmett Brown and how he showed his plans to Marty,
right,
using miniature scale. And of course, his miniature scale looked exactly like the real thing.
Not so much this time.
Yeah, not so much this time.
Yeah. And it was so cool to have Weird Al Yankovic as part of the voice cast in this episode. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you weren't paying attention, you wouldn't even really know it's him.
Yeah, to be frank with you, when I watched this episode at New York Comic Con, I didn't know Weird Al was even in it. I mean, I recognized that that the character's voice was, you know, over the top and a bit quirky and all that, but I didn't know it was Weird Al until after the episode had finished. It was cool.
Yeah, and it kind of, because he had a jellyfish on his head and all that kind of stuff, and they had to talk differently, I'm just wondering how much they did that in maybe synthesizing the voice in post-production.
I would think they'd have to have probably done that with all the voices to make them consistently distorted, you know, across the different actors.
Yeah.
Just a guess.
Just slightly.
Yeah, just a bit. Right.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. So, and Weird Al, although he hasn't done as probably as much voice work directly as some of the other people in this cast, Weird Al, of course, is very well known for having done a lot of great music, mostly spoofing other artists for 30 years. And he actually had one of his songs, Dare to Be Stupid, was featured in the Transformers, the movie, back in 1986. And about 15 or 20 years later, he played a character in one of the Transformers cartoons. He played a character who had been featured in that movie during that scene where his song was played. So he has done some voice work and has done a great job of it.
And of course, he's the lead character in Milo Murphy's Law right now on Disney XD.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yep. And he also did the song The Saga Begins,
mm-hmm.
back when 1999, when Star Wars The Phantom Menace first came out.
Right, right.
If you had actually listened to the words of Weird Al Yankovic's song The Saga Begins,
mm-hmm.
you would have been able to find out some of the plot lines of that first movie.
Oh, yeah.
The song actually did come out before the movie did.
Right, right.
So that was interesting.
Yeah, Weird Al, actually, on a personal note, Weird Al Yankovic was the first popular musical artist that I ever saw in concert.
Wow. And of course, he played the accordion a lot, right?
Yes, he did. He did. And Dare to Be Stupid happens to be my favorite of all of his tracks, where he sort of evokes Devo in a new and funny way. So yeah, he's just awesome. And it was so cool to have him in this episode.
And, of course, he was an actor in the cult classic UHF.
Right. That's right. So, go Weird Al.
Yeah, go Weird Al.
We saw this episode as a sort of sneak peek at New York Comic Con 2016, and it was really fun to watch then, and it was even more fun to watch, you know, in context with the other episodes of Season 2. It was just a hoot.
Well, what was really nice was how they set it up for us, of course, and afterwards, when we got to do like a Q&A with the panel that they had, it was really interesting to find out, you know, that Lauren Montgomery was the one that was really big on the mermaids from Little Mermaid, which was one of the things that really got her involved in animation in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to hear those types of little tidbits while you're at the panel after having seen a brand new episode from a new season that, you know, not many people get to see.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and watching the episode again sure brought back a lot of good memories.
But it's interesting now to hear all the comments from all the people on Twitter, on Facebook, on, you know, all kinds of social media and everything, and what people actually think of what's going on in this episode and everything. I get a new sense of this episode every time I hear a new comment about it, you know, because there's so much going on in it.
Mm-hmm.
It totally excludes so many characters. You know?
It does. And these are characters. I mean, you know, you hear a lot about Shiro. There's so many people who love Shiro, and there's so many people who love Keith and Pidge, of course. Now, Lance obviously is very popular, Hunk as well. But these two isolated on their own, separated from the other major players, is definitely a shift from the norm. And it's fun to get up and up close and a little more personal with these two characters.
So this episode really doesn't do anything. There's no Voltron, okay, which several of these episodes don't have, so that's not a big deal in itself. But there's no Voltron, there's no Zarkon, there's no Karan, there's no Allura, there's no Shiro or Keith. I mean, just that in itself boggles the mind, because usually within an episode, you usually see them changing the scene to something else, you know, where you find out what's going on with the Galra or something like that. So you might see Hagar or Zarkon or one of his commanders or whatever. But you don't see any of that here.
Yeah, this was pure fish story.
Right. It's it's like it could have been taken out and completely done somewhere else.
But I think that's part of what makes this series so fun, is you'd never really know what you're going to get from one episode to the next. I mean, there are certain things that happen much more often than others, obviously, but then you get something like this, which really sort of bucks the trend, and I love it that much more for that reason.
Yeah, but you can't take this whole episode out and not do it, because you needed to find out what happened to Lance and Hunk from the wormhole. And then you also needed to find out how they came back together with the other paladins, you know. So that obviously happened at the end. But I guess what was interesting the most was we did learn that Blue Lion obviously is so much better in water and even gains some energy from being in water.
Right. So I think we're seeing traces of future plot development here, too. It isn't just you know, our two of our favorite characters out of their element. It is a lion very much in its element. And it'll be very interesting to see how that continues to unfold throughout this season and possibly future seasons.
And don't forget that sonar weapon.
It's called a sound blast or sonar. The toy packaging referred to it as an ice cannon.
Okay. So the toy calls it an ice cannon. It was a brand new weapon that came up in this episode, and it is basically a sonar blast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then that, of course, led to Hunk's reaction, "You dropped a sonic boom on him!"
And here's the thing, I wonder if that's only a weapon that can be used underwater, or if that's also something that can be used in space or anywhere else.
Well, I ordinarily would say, well, if it's sonic, it can't be used in space because sound waves don't travel in
space.
That's
right. There is no sound in space.
Yes, but that didn't stop Jango Fett's sonic charge in Star Wars Episode II.
The seismic charges?
Yeah, the seismic charge, yes.
Yeah, those were some incredible sounds. But in Star Wars, obviously, there is sound in space because we hear explosions and, you know, that we hear all kinds of laser fire, and we hear all kinds of, you know, different things going on in Star Wars.
Most movies and TV shows and animations that take place in space have sound just as if it were in an atmosphere. But I don't know if that's just for dramatic effect or if we're supposed to believe that we're really hearing this stuff. Who knows?
Okay.
I mean, you know, the lions are always seen to be in space forming Voltron, and you hear the roaring and all that. So, and the sounds of all the machinery as they link up and everything, but oh well.
So, if Blue Lion ever went up against Aquaman, who would win?
Oh, well, that depends. If you've got the Super Friends narrator, "And Aquaman fought Blue Lion with his fishy friends," Aquaman might win. But without that narrator, I think Blue Lion would easily win.
Okay. All right. I'm sure Blue Lion will show us even more fantastic things that it has up its sleeve.
Yes, no doubt.
I think that was a good discussion about the depths.
It makes me want to go out and buy a McDonald's Filet-O-Fish sandwich. I want a Baku burger.
Yeah, Baku burger.
Ew, anyway.
Well, don't be surprised if that comes up at somebody's party. Baku burgers. Come and get your Baku burgers.
Yes, now available at Rep It Sal's.
Yes. we're going all the way from the depths to Space Mall.
Yes.
All right. So thank you for joining us for our review of the second episode of season 2 of Voltron Legendary Defender, The Depths. That's a good discussion on The Depths. And what we need to go and move into right now is our Voltron fan spotlight.
Fun, fun, fun.
So thank you for listening to our review of The Depths. Obviously, we will have another review coming up in our next podcast. And look forward to that. That one's going to be Shiro's Escape.
Woohoo!
Look forward to Shiro's Escape coming soon on a podcast near you.
Operators are standing by. Void where prohibited by law.
The Voltron fan spotlight for this podcast is coming from Nami.
Great. Let's listen.
Let's go, Voltron fans! This is your Voltron Fan Spotlight.
Wow, would you believe that it's finally time to do this voice meme? I could have done it 6 months ago when it was popular the first time around, but nope. No, I had to wait until the second time around. So, hi, here we are in the Voltron voice meme. My name's Nami. On Twitter, I'm at nsamhain, and then on Tumblr, I'm at Nami's Flower Shop. I'm 20 years old. I draw a lot. So much. Maybe a little bit too much. I've been told I work too much. It's a sincere possibility. I also write occasionally. I go to school for marketing. I'm not all that exciting. I got into Voltron, actually, kind of kicking and screaming. I didn't originally want to be into Voltron. I'm not much for fan art or like big fandom things, or at least I wasn't previously. And so when it became like really big on my Twitter, I actually avoided it for a long time. I was more into Overwatch. I mean, I still do love Overwatch. It's very close to my heart. But I'm normally convinced to watch a show because of the female characters. So basically what happened was I saw a lot of Allura and Pidge, and then I also saw Shiro and was finally convinced that I should watch the show. So here I am, and I've watched it. So obviously, with, you know, that caveat, I've never seen the earlier show at all. I'd never even heard of it. I'm one of those freaks of nature that didn't watch TV as a child. I just went outside constantly, partially because we didn't have TV in my house. That doesn't help. We had VHS tapes. I watched Hercules about 8,000 times. But yeah, so I basically got into Voltron because I saw Allura and I'm very gay, and I went, you know what, I'm here for it, and watched it. So ironically, my ships ended up sort of leaving my original favorite characters. Anybody who's ever met me for longer than 30 seconds knows that my favorite ship is Clunk. Yeah, that's Keith, Lance, and Hunk, followed very closely by Hans and Heath, and obviously Clance. But like, Clunk is that perfect unity. It's everything you need. I think my second favorite, comparatively speaking, would be Shantz. I don't know why. I'm just like, every single time I see Shantz, I'm like, yes, yes, I love this ship. Which is great, honestly. I love how actually lately there's been a lot more content for it. I don't know if maybe we're like chilling out with the drama or something, but I'm really about this life of just draw Shantz all the time, constantly, because it's wonderful. And I mean, really, I love most ships. If it's well done, if it's beautiful art or it's beautiful writing, I'll try it at least once. I've been super into Lancelot, mostly because the concept of people flirting with Lance and making him feel happy and showing him that he's actually beautiful makes my heart explode in my chest. So what am I hoping to see in future seasons? I mean, I guess personally for me, I'd be hoping to see a little bit more consistency in terms of characterization and screen time balance. The last season, I don't have quite the same issues with it that everybody else did, but I will say that I found that there was kind of a lot of imbalance in characterization, and some of the writing for me felt a little weird, so I'm kind of hoping that they iron that out a little bit, because the ideas behind Voltron are wonderful. I'd really love to see Hans, but that's not going to happen. So RIP Hans. But I'd really love to see like a really well done queer relationship of some sort. I would love to see people flirting with Lance and telling him he's wonderful and gorgeous and worthy. Same with Hunk, obviously, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, I skipped favorite character, Hunk. Seriously, have you guys been within 100 feet of my Twitter? It's Hunk, followed very closely by Lance. Oddly enough, it left my original Shiro and Allura fans. Like, I used to, like, I originally watched the show for them, and yet I don't know why I left them. Ugh, sorry. What's my favorite episode? The one where Lance gets blown up. That's easy. I don't know what it is about that Langst, but I'm here. I'm here for Lance being homesick and just a full character, and it really touches my heart places. It's closely followed by the Heath episode. The Heath episode and then the Mermaid episode. I love all of them. Which lion would I pilot? I'd actually probably be a black lion pilot, personally. I like to joke around and say I'd be something else, but my personality is actually very... I wouldn't call it leaderly. It's more that I just sort of accidentally have a habit of taking the lead in things, especially if other people don't want to. So I think I would probably end up in the black lion. And then the last thing, say Shiro, Keith, Lance, Pidge, Hunk, Allura, Karan, Zarkon, Kerberos, Galra, Eris, Altea, Balmera, and Quintessence. Also say Clance. I have a friend who says K-Lance, and it makes me cringe. sorry if this was super rambly. I did it all in one shot and without really thinking about it, so hopefully everybody likes it. Have a good night. Bye.
Thank you, Nami. That was awesome.
That was cool.
Yeah, so first of all, she very early in the voice meme said that she's not all that exciting. Yes, she is. What a dynamic person. So, you know... kudos to you, Nami, for recording the voice meme and sharing it with us.
Right, and she shares a lot of things, a lot of traits that a lot of the fans do, and that's that they like to draw a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, they also get into writing a little bit, too. There's a lot of people that do both fanfic and fan art, and they get into all the different relationships and stuff like that. So she's very much in the same league with a lot of other people.
Yeah, and Hunk is my favorite character, too, although Pidge at this point is a very close second.
I'm sure Tyler Labine would have loved to hear that Hunk was her favorite.
Yes, definitely. Favorite lion, Black, because she finds herself leading groups, seemingly mostly through happenstance or other people not wanting to take charge. Whatever the reason, Black Lion sounds like it belongs to you, Nami.
Yeah. It's hard to find people that actually get the same characteristics as, say, like a blue lion or a yellow lion. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's getting harder and harder to find people that are saying that those are the lions they would pilot.
Hmm.
I think it's a lot of green lions, a lot of red lions, and a lot of black lions that we've heard so far in all of these.
There aren't a lot of leg people in this world, are there?
I'm a leg.
Oh, golly. Well, Yellow Lion has pretty much always been my favorite in pretty much every incarnation of Voltron. And this new series is no different. But Black Lion has some really awesome wings in all of the incarnations. And yeah, red and green are awesome. In some of the shows, they're scrappy little things. But goodness gracious, they're very dynamic and cool.
Right. And don't forget, Yellow and Blue Lions are the ones that have to put on those thrusters so that Voltron can come down and land just perfectly into that dramatic pose.
Yes, that's right. And of course, they've got to be able to kick really well. Right, Lance? I have to confess to our listeners, I am not up to speed on a lot of these ships. I had not heard of Clunk until just now. So thank you for educating me on that.
That was the first one she mentioned, right?
It was. I mean, I've heard of Hans and Heath and Clance and Chance, and I'm beginning to get up to speed. Within the last couple of weeks, I tweeted, I'm not up to speed on all these ships here, so please fill me in. And I don't remember Clunk being mentioned. Maybe it was, but I definitely remember it now. So thanks for that.
Did you ever see the movie Ted?
I have not. I know of it, have never seen it.
Okay, Mark Wahlberg. He does a little bit in there where he says all of these girls' names, and he's trying to guess a name that Ted himself is, you know, has in mind, and he's able to just like string through all these different names of all these girls until he finally gets it. And it's just amazing to see him string through them so quickly and everything. And I'm betting you that somewhere, someday, somebody's going to take all these relationships, all the Sheaths and the Heaths and the Clances and the Clunks and all this kind of stuff, and either put it into a song or a poem or something like that, where, you know, people are going to get a kick out of it, you know, just hearing all of them. I mean, how many different combinations are there, do you think?
It would be geometrical.
Okay.
To pair them all up.
Astronomical?
Yes. Geometric rather than arithmetic in the combinations. Holy moly, I sound even more like a dork than normal. But but actually, I'm kind of surprised that there's no variant of the voice meme where all the terms you have to say at the end are ship names.
Wow.
You know, I mean, there's Eris, Altea, Keith, and all this stuff. You know, I'm surprised that there's not like a ship rundown, but maybe there will be. Who knows?
Well, don't forget we had a voice meme where they added season 2 references in it.
Yes, I remember that.
Which was really cool. And, you know, some people have made shout outs to other people and stuff like that. But for the most part, I think, yes, if you are making a Voltron voice meme, you are free to add things to say at the end of it. If you want to add some season 2 references, that's fine. If you want to add some more relationship names, you can do that. It's up to you.
Go for it.
Yeah, we encourage creativity with these Voltron voice memes.
Yeah.
Don't feel like you have to just stick to the script.
Yes.
That's what the voice actors have to do.
That's right. We have more freedom, darn it. Not getting paid for it, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did notice that she had mentioned that she watched a lot of Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, the 90s series on VHS. I actually remember watching that in first run. And my favorite character across Hercules and Xena was easily Autolycus, Prince of Thieves, played by the legendary Bruce Campbell. So go, Bruce.
How do you know she wasn't talking about Disney's Hercules?
Oh, she might have been. I've never seen that one. I'm so sorry.
Disney's Hercules might have been, you know, the thing that she watched on VHS a lot, because I know we had that on VHS.
Okay, so maybe it was that one. But we still love you, Nami. So thanks for the voice meme.
So that was pretty cool. So thank you very much, Nami.
Absolutely.
So we did get a very special note that came out of Voltron's Twitter account.
Okay.
Did you hear about this?
I believe so, but why don't you fill in our amazing listeners?
Okay, well, you know we celebrated Hunk's birthday on January 13th. It was 1 week before season 2 came out.
Right.
And they put a little teaser out there to everybody just recently that said the next Paladin's birthday is the closest yet the farthest away.
Uh-huh.
And everybody started thinking, okay, I love riddles. Okay, so let's solve this riddle. What would be the closest yet the farthest away? Well, we're coming into February, so it would have been maybe a leap year baby, you know? Mm-hmm. So they all guessed pretty much that Shiro's birthday was February 29th.
They did indeed.
And that was pretty amazing. And they did announce on the Voltron Twitter account that February 29th is Shiro's birthday, but they're going to celebrate it on February 28th this year, mm-hmm. and they're going to do a special Facebook Q&A like they did with Tyler Labine for Hunk. They're going to do with Josh Keaton for Shiro.
Very cool.
And people will be able to send in their questions and maybe get their question answered. And I also heard that Josh Keaton would be sharing some Shiro fan art.
That's really cool.
Because we did see a little bit of that in Tyler Labine's interview, mm-hmm. in his Q&A.
Right.
He did share a few Hunk fan art pieces. That'll be good for everybody. So February 28th, look for the Facebook Live Q&A with Josh Keaton for Shiro's birthday.
Sounds like fun.
Do you know of anything else that might be going on?
New York Toy Fair.
Oh, yes. New York Toy Fair.
Yeah, this podcast will probably be released after New York Toy Fair weekend. Actually, almost certainly after New York Toy Fair weekend. But it is very soon. Actually, it's this weekend as we record this.
Yes.
And we expect to hear some amazing news about Voltron toys.
Right. And we do have a couple of people on the inside. Greg and I were not able to make it to New York Toy Fair this year. But trust us, we will be making sure that we can get to be able to get some, maybe some press credentials for next year's New York Toy Fair, because it's going to be big.
Yeah, yeah. And because toys are cool.
So we do have a few contacts at Playmates Toys that did say that they would be able to send us a media kit, and we can probably share some of those professional photos that they have of the Wave 2 toys that they will be displaying in their booth at New York Toy Fair.
That will be cool.
So we are looking forward to that, and maybe we will have some of those people that were there firsthand give us their firsthand report.
That would be really nice. I look forward to watching or reading as much as I can about what happens at Toy Fair weekend. So with Voltron Legendary Defender out now, Wave 1 and Wave 2 coming soon, I'm very much looking forward to learning about what's going on.
Right. And one thing that I want to do is I want to let people know that we will be talking to Jeff Trojan again from Playmates Toys very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want to do is have you guys send in some questions for him, because you guys didn't get to send in your questions the last time for Jeff Trojan. And I want to make sure you get the opportunity this time. So any of the fan questions that you guys have about the Playmates Toys line of Voltron Legendary Defender toys, just make sure you send them in to us at letsvoltronpodcast@gmail.com. You can be as lengthy as you want. You can ask as many questions as you want.
Very cool.
Feel free to send in your questions about Playmates Toys for Jeff Trojan when we have him on again.
Yeah, my biggest question is, how is Santa Claus going to be able to fit all of those Voltron toys on his sleigh come next Christmas?
It's going to be a good Christmas for a lot of kids next year.
Yeah, I'm thinking instead of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the sleigh will probably be led by the Red Lion.
Led by the Red.
Yes, led by the Red. Oh, that's a great great little thing.
That's what I pulled out of that. Sorry.
Nice.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to the results of New York Toy Fair, obviously, and looking forward to having Jeff Trojan on our podcast really soon.
Yeah, and also, in addition to sending in any questions you may have for Jeff Trojan at Playmates Toys, why don't you send in what you think about the toys that are out now and the toys that you've heard about that are coming very soon? I'd be very interested in seeing what our listeners, you know, are most interested in, what they're maybe not so interested in, just to get kind of a feel for what our listeners think about that stuff.
Yeah, me too. I'd really like to hear what you guys think about it. Obviously, we had a lot of comments on our videos that we had made. I made the Ultimate Voltron video. You made the basic figures and the role-playing toys and, of course, the Legendary Lions, the ones that combined together to form that 18-inch Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
That video, I just still can't believe it. It's over 130,000 views at this moment and still climbing.
That's just crazy. I mean, wow. I don't know what to say.
One thing that I like about it is there's a lot of people commenting and about those toys, you know, on that video, and that's great, you know, and, yeah, and we're responding to as many of those comments as we can, you know. So
Right. Feel
free to comment on those videos or comment on our, you know, email address, however you want to do it.
Yeah, and I've seen some of the comments saying, your delivery is so boring, Greg. And to that, I can only say, huh, what, huh? No, seriously, any comments are appreciated. So please send them in.
Right. So I think that's going to do it for us for this week.
Yes, it has been an amazingly deep episode reviewing the depths and just doing what we most enjoy doing, which is talking Voltron.
We're glad that we have the Voltron fan spotlight to be able to share you guys on the podcast as well. So don't forget to do your Voltron voice meme and send us emails. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on
Let's Voltron!